Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read in John chapter 4. We shall read again at verses 25 and 26. The Gospel according to John chapter 4 from verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. May this be a time in which sinners hear the voice of Christ. As the Lord Jesus spoke to the woman of Samaria, I that speak unto thee am he. May he say such words to the experience of sinners among us, that they would come to realize that the one who is speaking is not a mere man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is able by his infinite grace to open the eyes of the spiritually blind and cause them to see that the one who is speaking is himself. I that speak unto thee am he. We see here the Lord Jesus making a journey through Samaria to Galilee. And we read that he must needs go through Samaria. He was leaving Judea and going to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. Samaria was the place where a lot of Samaritans lived, and the Jews would naturally like to avoid the Samaritans, and there were other routes to Galilee from Judea to avoid going through Samaria. They could have passed along the Jordan River or along the seacoast to the east. So the point is they didn't have to go through Samaria. And so when the Lord Jesus must go through Samaria, there is a very specific reason why he must go that way. And that is because there was a soul there needing salvation. And he would bring that soul to himself. He would speak to her, and he would say to her, I that speak unto thee am he. And this woman was coming to draw water from a well, but she would meet the one who was able to give her much more than any natural spring of water in this world. He would give her that living water, which he alone could give. It would be a well or fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. How thankful we should be today that the very purpose of the Lord Jesus in coming into the world is seeking and saving the lost. And if you feel dark this day, if you feel bound and troubled by sin, well, the Lord is able and willing to save you from your sins. And he is able to deliver you from your blindness, and is able to deliver you from your bondage, and to enlighten your mind in the knowledge of himself, and to renew your will that you would be enabled to embrace him, that you by his grace would trust in him. Pray then that as you hear these words being opened up, that the Lord Jesus would speak to you, and that as he did with this woman at the well, he would reveal himself to you. I that speak unto thee am he. The Lord helping us then, we consider first of all the invitation of the gospel. We find that especially in verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Here is the invitation of the gospel. Secondly, we notice the conviction of the sinner. Until a person is awakened to see their sinfulness, they will not appreciate the gift of God. until you see your need as a sinner, that you are under God's wrath and curse, and you deserve hellfire, until you are awakened to your sinful condition, you will not appreciate the amazing gift of God, and that is life and salvation by Jesus Christ. So we need to pray for conviction, and that's what we consider in the second place, the conviction of the sinner. And in the third place, the revelation of the Savior. I that speak unto thee am he. Christ revealed himself to this woman. Christ spoke to her. Christ showed himself to her that he is the Christ. He is the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the lost. I that speak unto thee am he. And pray that he would speak to you and reveal himself to you, even today, even now, as you hear this part of his word, the gospel of the blessed God, Jesus Christ. First, then, the invitation of the gospel. Secondly, the conviction of the sinner. And thirdly, the revelation of the Savior. So we have the invitation of the gospel found in this part of God's word. The Lord was going to invite her to receive living water, if only she knew the gift of God. Well, he himself was there, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the right time. You see, the providence of God is often made use of to bring sinners to Christ, and God orders circumstances in such a way that the sinner comes to the Savior at the appointed time. And that was seen, of course, in the case of Lydia, when she was attending the prayer meeting, and Paul came there and preached, and the Lord opened her heart when Paul preached the word of God to the women at the riverside. Again, when Paul was persecuted and cast into prison, he was there at the time in which the earthquake took place, and the jailer of the prison was brought to his knees and cried, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul was there to give the answer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so the Lord makes use of these various circumstances and times things in such a way where the seeking soul is met by the messenger who brings the good news of salvation. And in this case, the messenger, if we may say so, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the one who came to this woman of Samaria at this very time in which she was drawing water. Well, we see here the Lord Jesus was journeying, and he was becoming weary with his journey. And so when they approach this city, he takes his rest at the well. He sits on the well, perhaps on the side of the well. And we see here in this gospel, according to John, not only does he present so fully the divinity of Christ, not only does he present to us the divine nature of Christ, but he shows us the humanity of Christ. The Lord Jesus was weary. He was needing rest. He had a human body, and his body needed refreshing. And he was thirsting, and that is why he asks her for a drink of water. "Give me to drink," verse 7. And this was at noon, lunchtime, so to speak. The disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Being the sixth hour, the Jewish reckoning of time would make it 6 hours from 6 a.m., so it would be about 12 o'clock our time. And the timing was ordered wisely so that the disciples would be in the city, leaving Christ alone to speak to this woman alone about the needs, not of her temporal situation, but the needs of her soul. And by the way, is that what you feel your need of most of all? Yes, we all have many needs. Some of us have children. Some of us have other concerns, physical conditions. We all have lots and lots of needs. But what needs do we feel most of all? Here, the Lord Jesus is showing that we really need most of all living water. We need salvation. We need to be delivered from our sins. Do you feel that today? Is that the weightiest burden? If you had to pick up each burden you have, which is the heaviest one with you? Some of you, it's your physical condition or your education or your employment. But the heaviest burden of all ought to be the needs of your soul. And that's what you should feel most, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things and all the other burdens will be taken care of. The Lord meets with the woman, and when she is coming to draw water, it is a fit opportunity to ask for a drink of water. And of course, she would be able to meet that physical need that Christ had. But she's surprised. And she says in verse 9, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" This woman is a Samaritan. The Lord Jesus is a Jew. And she's surprised that a Jew would speak to a Samaritan, or at least to be asking for something that involves such personal interaction as one receiving a favor of another. He's not buying something from her. That would be something that people would be willing to do for a money advantage. But to have a friendly interaction and act of kindness shown from one to another, that's something that didn't take place very often between Samaritans and Jews. The Samaritans were a mixed race, so to speak. They had mixed even their worship with a false religion. And so there's a long history between the animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. For example, the Samaritans wanted to help build the wall when Nehemiah came back from the area of the Medes and Persians to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and the Samaritans wanted to help, but the Jews did not let them because this was appointed for God's people. The Samaritans were abandoned. So this is going way back to a long history between the Samaritans and the Jews, and this is why the woman of Samaria was surprised that the Lord, being a Jew, would speak to her. But you notice here that the woman was not giving him a drink, not yet. And the Lord Jesus takes this opportunity to speak to her about the needs of her soul. He says, verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." If you only knew who this person was that is speaking to you, you would be willing to exchange places. And instead of him asking you for a drink of water, you would be earnestly asking him for living water. He is able to give you that which is to sustain your very soul. And whereas you haven't given this literal water, he would not withhold from you the spiritual water. He is able and willing to give you living water. He is able to give you spiritual life, and he is willing to do so. Only ask. Ask and it shall be given. Ask as if your very life depends upon it, because your life does depend upon it. If you're not asking, then you're not going to get, you're not going to be receiving. You won't receive eternal life if you're not asking for eternal life. "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And some are ignoring the gospel, and they're taken up with other things, and they do not care to seek the Lord. Well, they are sending themselves to hell. They are abandoning themselves to darkness and bondage and blindness, and they are sending themselves to hell. But the Lord Jesus is willing to save. And so he tells this woman, and he's telling us, that if you would only ask, you would receive. Well, the woman wants clarity, and she is not understanding what this living water is. So she says to the Lord in verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" The well is deep. I read somewhere that the well was 100 feet deep or 30 meters deep. Perhaps that's speaking about the spring of water that fed the well deep down inside. And that's where the source, she would have thought, perhaps that's what the Lord is speaking of, the running water deep down inside the well. How are you going to get that living water, that running water, down deep inside the well? Where are you getting it from? You don't have anything to draw with. Well, this just reminds us that sinners often, very often, mistake the truth. And they take some parts of Scripture too literally. And they ignore, they miss the deeper significance of the truth. The Lord is not offering natural water. The Lord Jesus is offering spiritual water, spiritual blessing. How many times people misinterpret the words of Psalm 37, "Delight thyself in God, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." They think to themselves, "Well, if I love God, then he will give me everything I want. Everything I set my heart on, God will give it to me." Utterly wrong. That's a wrong interpretation. That's a very natural, humanistic, earthly view of that verse. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. What if you delight yourself in God, the desire of your heart is God. He will give you himself. He will give you all that is truly good for you, all that will help you spiritually. He won't give you a flash car. He won't give you the latest smartphone. He will give you what is needful and what is good for your soul. Again, how many are there tonight, today, who are switching their minds off? Instead, they should be switching their phones off. Turn your mind on and ask the Lord to draw your heart. Awake, thou that sleepest. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If your phone is distracting you, that's what I mean. Switch it off. But if you're doing what is helping you spiritually, and what helps us spiritually is that we're all ears and we're listening to God's word. That is what we need. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The Lord Jesus is telling us that. If you listen to anything, you had better listen to God's word, or you will seal your destruction in hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Christ is inviting sinners to hear and to receive living water, spiritual life. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman is recognizing that at least the Lord Jesus is claiming to some greatness. Verse 12, "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" The well must be very great. It's very historic. Jacob, who was one of the patriarchs, one of the greatest figures in the history of Israel, he gave us the well. He would have had his servants dig the well, and so he provided water for himself and his children and his livestock. It was a very plentiful well. It was a great thing that a great man provided. And now the Lord Jesus, this man, this Jew, as she sees him, is offering something even better, something that is truly greater than what this great man provided Jacob. Well, it's a claim that the Lord Jesus is making to greatness, to supreme ability to meet our needs. And what are we doing with that claim? Or are we saying, "Well, we've heard it before"? well, then you're not really laying it to heart. You don't really believe it. You believe something else is greater, something else is more rewarding, something else is more satisfying than Christ, who is the Son of God. He who is the Son of Man and met with this woman and spoke to her is also God, who is upholding the universe, who created all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he is now reigning over the universe. He is the supreme ruler, and he holds all things in his hands. He holds you in your hands, and every heartbeat that you have and every breath you draw is by his own power. And if he should withdraw that power, if he should remove those restraints, where would you be? You would be a worse sinner than you are, and you would send yourself into eternity. And I'm afraid that if you died today, that we would be aghast, because you would be in the hands of the devil, lost forever. Will this not sink into your ears, into your soul? But the Lord Jesus is offering something that will infinitely satisfy you, and that is himself and salvation by him. Who is the gift of God? It is Christ. You see, salvation is embodied in Christ. He provides the living water, the spiritual life. But again, it is he himself that provides it. Salvation is in himself. He is the gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this person, then, is not an ordinary person. The one who is speaking to the woman is not a mere Jew. He is not a mere man. He is both God and man in two distinct natures and one person forever. And he himself has this living water. This living water, what will it do for us? The Lord Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. That is the water that was in the well. If you drink it, you'll have to drink it again. You'll thirst again, as if you had never taken a drink at all. You will be absolutely dry and thirsty. And that's a picture of the things of this life, the earthly satisfactions.